I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Get your eyes checked. Brought to you by America's Best Contacts and Eyeglasses. Let's take a look at this ball boy as he runs behind the plate as Max Scherzer is about to throw a pitch. What are you doing?
Should have hit him in the head.
No. Oopsie. Bart Scott.
Should have hit him with the dodgeball right in, his shoulder plate, right between the ribs.
So violent.
And Scherzer stops and points to him like, get that kid.
Disrespect.
Ball boy just trying to get off the field.
We don't want to mess up.
Good thing it wasn't a
mess.
Good thing it wasn't a wild pitch. All right, the road to the Little League World Series continues. We're going to have Southwest Regional Championship game today between Texas East and Oklahoma at 1 o'clock Eastern. Then it's Indiana and Kentucky. No, not college. This is Little League World Series. They resume their game, which was stopped by rain yesterday. How dare they? And finally, another championship game as Tennessee takes on Virginia in the Southeast Regional. All three on ESPN and the app. That weather can't stop Little League. All right, welcome back to Get Up. Coming to you live from the Seaport, brought to you by Chase. Sydney, roll the tees.
Come on, get up.
Time to get up with KD's ultimatum as he delivers a new demand in a face-to-face meeting with the owner of the Nets. And what does it all mean? Plus, big news in Baltimore. Lamar getting some much-needed help on offense. Are the Ravens sneaky Super Bowl contenders? And how about Buffalo Beckham? Does Odell have his eyes on joining a Super Bowl favorite? But we begin with the Kevin Durant ultimatum. Durant and Nets owner Joe Tsai met in London recently, and Durant reiterated his desire to be traded. Sources confirm he suggested the franchise needed to choose between him and coach Steve Nash and general manager Sean Marks. And last night, Joe Tsai made his feelings clear, or did he, on Twitter. In this tweet, our front office and coaching staff have my support, Monica McNutt.
Mm-hmm.
We will make decisions in the best interest of the Brooklyn Nets.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm, indeed. Well, welcome you back into the studio. I got Monica McNutt here with me. Bart Scott steps into the building as well.
What's up, party? What's good, man? Good to see you
look
guys.
Look at you. Looking refreshed.
Look at you, Monica. Look at you. It was like Pleasantville before. Now we in bright this whole setup, babe. Let's do it.
Pocket Square and everything else. And Tim Bontemps, we woke him up to get him back here on the show as well out in the West Coast. Tim, the very latest on this KD front as the saga certainly continues.
Well, Alan, you might think that there's something new on the KD front because of what's gone on over the past 24 hours. But to me, what this really says is that we're in the exact same position that Kevin Durant and the Nets have been in since he asked for this trade request back in the end of June. And over the last 6 weeks, the one thing that's been consistently true throughout this entire saga is that the Brooklyn Nets are not getting anywhere near enough in trade packages that they're really considering trading Kevin Durant right now. And so for all the noise that's gone on around this team and around Kyrie Irving and around Kevin Durant, much like the last 4 years, it's really been a lot of sound and fury signifying nothing. And ultimately to me, where we sit right now on August 9th is that in a few weeks, when training camp opens at the end of September, Kevin Durant's going to be a Net, and the Brooklyn Nets are going to have to find a way forward with this group, because I just don't see a way that this thing is going to get resolved. I don't see Sean Marks or Steve Nash getting let go. As Joe Tsai said yesterday, that was the easiest tweet for him to send of all time. Let me support my coach GM over the guy that asked to be traded 6 weeks ago. And the rest of the situation now is just in the same place that it's been, with Kevin Durant hoping to get traded and the Nets not getting anywhere near enough in return to actually want to move him.
Bart, you and I have discussed this story from the very beginning on our show, Bart and Hunt, Noon Eastern, ESPN Radio. And
shameful.
We have seen this from the very beginning.
Yeah.
What do you make of this now, where he's going over everyone's head right to the owner?
Well, we've seen this script before, right? We've seen James Harden do it. We've seen Anthony Davis do the same script. And he's trying to go full Tropic Thunder. He's trying to, you know, make sure that the relationships aren't repairable. Right, so you do that by attacking what? The two people that you know are going to be there, Sean Marks and Steve Nash. Last I checked, Monica, wasn't Steve Nash and pick from him and Kyrie Irving. So, like, you mean to tell me all of a sudden, you know, the relationship between Steve Nash, and all of a sudden you don't believe in Steve Nash, but you're the one who appointed him there. So that's when you, that's what happens when you try and play resident general manager.
Before you say anything,
you like antagonizing me. Go ahead.
Bart referenced something that KD did, you know, remember, you said they picked this guy, right?
Yeah.
Well, in April.
Partnership.
In April, KD said this about his coach, who at the time was under media scrutiny.
I think he's done a great job. I mean, the last 2 years, he's been dealt a wild hand, you know, injuries, trades, disgruntled players, like guys in and out the lineup, you know, stuff that he can't control. And I felt like, you know, he handled it as best as he could.
So then next to him, Kyrie Irving nodding along to everything KD's saying. With that, I give you Exhibit A.
All I'm saying and continue to say is it is at least something that should be explored thoroughly. Bontemps just said you're not going to get the trade value that you want. So when we get to training camp and should KD escalate this thing to the next level by holding out, now you're going to explore maybe changing your front office folks in order to get him back on the floor? I just think everything should still be on the table, because if the idea is how do I maintain the most value, to me, the front office pieces then become expendable because we already know you're not getting the trade that you want. That's all I'm saying. Everything is still on the table.
I mean, we know once you go this route, right, you can't come back.
No, help me, Bontemps. Help me. Come on.
I need Tim to jump in here, TV, because I had Jay Will in here with Monica, too, and they feel like that all it is a line in the sand and that KD and Kyrie are going to have to play this year and everything's going to be fine. Do you see it any differently?
There's no chance that the Nets – there's no way the Nets can fire – Sean Marks and Steve Nash to mollify Kevin Durant after everything that's gone on over the past 6 weeks. This all started back in May when Sean Marks said, we want to take control back of the franchise, right? We want to take control back of our team and kind of get this thing going in a different direction. That by firing the front office, you would just literally be going back to what the Nets have declared we are not going to be doing, which is having the players running the team.
Like, okay.
This is the Nets have charted a different course. And this, as I said, that Joe Tsai tweet yesterday was the easiest win of all time. There was that's the simplest thing to say. Because at the end of the day, Kevin Durant can't go anywhere. He's under contract for 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
He started that extension last week. This isn't about trying to figure out how to keep Kevin Durant there long term. He's there long term. Unless the Nets trade.
So, Bontemps, what if he decides not to play? Like, let's fast forward and nobody's happy, and Allen believes that there's no way that this is reparable because he just told Joe Tsai that he wanted Steve Nash fired. What if KD gets to camp and decides not to play? Then what are we doing?
I personally don't believe Kevin Durant is going to not play.
What I will say
is that if it does get to that point and he doesn't play, then the Nets are going to wait him out, I think. And I don't think they're going to cave and trade him then. I mean, look, the trade packages that are on the table to me are not going to get worse no matter what happens. So the Nets have a choice. The Nets can cut a deal now that's way less than his value and just trade him and get this over with, or they can try to make this work in the best way for them. I think the latter path is the only real path forward to me.
Bart, how does this end?
Well, hey, Kevin, how about I meet you halfway? Because there's no way.
I'm not
letting Steve Nash, you know, make me have a divorce with Kevin Durant. I'll get rid of Steve Nash. Listen, you're the one who brought him in here. Like, it's like, listen, it's a lot of other qualified coaches that could have been there because Steve Nash. Steve Nash wouldn't have been a head coach in his league if it wasn't for Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant. So I'm not letting him stand away and one of the best players and it's still my window being open. So
there you go.
I'll send him back to Canada with a soccer ball.
I guess the
point I think that needs to be made here is that Kevin Durant is on the team for 4 years. So this isn't about, he's going to be a free agent. We have to change the coach to keep this guy. He's on the team. This isn't about, we need to fire the front office to keep Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant's under contract, not on the team. So that's what they have to do.
We can agree that this is a mess. We can agree certainly on that. And we will talk more about this later on the show. Thank you, Tim. We will, though, go back to the NFL as Dan Graziano joins us to run the hurry up with some news and notes from around the league. And it starts with some bad news right here in New York. Jets offensive tackle Mekhi Becton.
Yeah, left practice yesterday with a knee injury. Sounds like it's more serious than they initially feared. The chatter out of there indicates there's a potential for surgery. We'll know more today, but bad news for the Jets and for Becton, who had come to camp in good shape and was and they were excited about moving him to right tackle, but now it looks like they may need to replace him. Jameis Winston, the Saints quarterback, left practice yesterday with a foot injury. The news on that, at least at the outset, sounds better. People that close to this situation that I talked to don't seem overly concerned. Possibly has to miss a little bit of practice time, but it doesn't sound like the kind of thing that is going to sideline Jameis Winston for very long, if at all. And in L.A., we talked about this earlier, Rams quarterback Matthew Stafford still dealing with soreness in his right elbow. Yes, as you can see, the right arm is the one with which he throws the football. So this is a concern. He practiced Saturday, threw the ball well. The Rams were off Sunday. They practiced yesterday. He did not throw the ball in practice yesterday. They say this is all part of the plan, but he had an injection in the offseason that was supposed to make it better, and it doesn't seem like it has a concern for the Rams going forward.
Yeah, the throwing arm, that's probably a bad thing when that's
probably
hurting for a quarterback.
I mean, I'm not a physiologist.
I mean, I didn't play football. Yeah. You guys did. Is there concern when your quarterback has an elbow issue that keeps him from throwing the football?
Nah, he's all right. I mean, listen, he's fine. You get one of those real tight neoprene sleeves, right, and you take this stuff, Tiger Balm. Remember Tiger Balm?
Yeah.
Take the Tiger Balm, you just lather that thing up, put the sleeve on.
Hey,
he's fine.
Hey, do not adjust your drawstring.
Do not. That happened to me once.
Yeah, exactly.
It was a very bad
fire. Fire is an understatement.
What are you talking about?
Bad fire.
What do you mean?
Fire.
You forget you got the Tiger Balm on. You touch other parts that you shouldn't touch. And, you know,
it's a serious situation.
Yeah.
Serious.
We don't deal with that in the press room.
No.
That is not.
I don't even know what they're talking about.
But I'll tell you what, Dan, I know you got that knee thing going on.
I do have a knee thing going on.
Tiger Balm, you put that thing on, you'll run miles. You'll be fine.
But I don't have to do it.
The next day might be a little sketchy, but you'll be all right.
Party though, in all seriousness, for the Rams, having Stafford not being able to get the reps in training camp, you're making that face.
It's all good.
You guys, the guy hasn't thrown a football all summer.
It's all good.
You're giving me this all as well?
Yeah.
All as well.
All as well.
So you're telling me.
They'll give him the rest that he needs. You need to prepare your backup. I'm not even concerned if he misses the first 4 weeks or they put him on a pup list. This team is a championship-ready team. They can beat average competition, which half of the league is average, half of the league is good. All they have to do is be there. You know, they need to get him to the finish line healthy so that they can make a run. I'm not worried about anything. Right now, it's just like with the Mets and Jacob deGrom. You know, nobody cares about that. Just hold the fort, and he'll eventually get there and save the day. They'll be in contention. He'll be fine. Put some dirt on it. Stop it, man.
DeGrom was unbelievable the other day for the Mets.
Like, I don't see Stafford throwing 18 sliders.
Stafford's literally not throwing the ball in practice. Like,
you know how many balls he's thrown in his life? I think he's okay.
He's had all offseason for this to feel better, and it still doesn't. Here's my question, right?
Yeah.
You got to play every week, right?
So he's
a tough guy, right? He wants to, well, they would prefer if he play every week. He's a tough guy. He'll tough out. He's played through pain in the past. But, all right, so it hurts week one. It hurts again week two. Like, at some point, does that not add up and get to the point where it's affecting how he throws the ball?
It don't. And listen, I played with players who got knee injections that couldn't practice the entire week but made all 17 weeks for the game. He's a veteran. He understands the offense. It's good for them to prepare to back up. You know, you put him on a pitch count. You make sure that you manage the injuries. Everybody by year five, year six, already is jacked up anyway. We never are healthy ever again.
Right. I'm also going to go back to 2006 when Drew Brees had that major shoulder issue, right?
Yep.
He didn't throw a pass until the first game.
Right.
First game of the season.
Right.
He would drop back and just point. Drop back
but
and that, point.
But Dak Prescott last year.
But that's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is a condition where it hurts when he throws. Brees was on at that point was on a program that said don't throw and it'll heal.
Right.
This was a guy who got this treated in the offseason and it hasn't healed to the point where it stopped hurting. How is that not a concern?
They will over-medicate him if they have to.
We're going
to
put a pin in this conversation, come back and talk about it again in November.
Tiger Balm
and see who's right and see if the Tiger Balm
works.
Maybe some copper fit. Coming up. Will Dak need to do more this year than ever before? The one thing he must improve for the Cowboys to make a playoff run, plus Buffalo Beckham. Mike Tiedl is just trading him everywhere. Does Odell have his eyes on joining a Super Bowl favorite? We're going to talk about it as Get Up continues.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Welcome back. Hey, meanwhile on planet Earth, did you see Jamal Williams? This incredible pep talk for his Lions teammates. Listen to this.
Jamal Williams, bring it up.
Bring it up. I'm going to let y'all know, man, today is the minimum of effort. Do not give up. Do not feel like you're tired. Were you tired? Think of last year and think of that f-ing record. Every time I get tired or I think I can't go no more, I think of that f-ing record. Last year wasn't it. That ain't us. We can make it. Have some heart. I get emotional about this. I'm about to cry because I care about y'all. Do your best. Let's go. Lions on three. 1, 2, 3.
Lions.
Lions on three. Hard Knocks training camp with the Lions debuts tonight at 10 p.m. Eastern on HBO Max. I'm ready to run through a wall.
A lot of heart there. A lot of heart. I can't help it. I just laugh because I'm not a big speech guy. Like, I would always be in the back of the huddle, and somebody would start doing that, and I'd be like, oh,
yeah, that's the best you got.
Just go ball out. Go ball. Like,
no, I didn't. I mean, I understand the effort, but that didn't inspire
your voice
me. That
can't break. You can't break.
I'm about to cry. Like, we see that you're about to cry. Yeah. Like, you don't have to announce it. We can see.
Yeah.
Like,
I mean,
it reminded me of Trey on Boys in the Hood.
He got emotional. He got emotional. I get it.
It rolls downhill. Like, listen, attitude reflects leadership, and we saw the coach cry last year too. So I mean, it's just starting to spread.
They had a lot.
It's only biting kneecaps. You can't be crying and biting kneecaps.
Man, that's your Detroit Lions. Now, he did tweet this, though, after, because there was a lot of social media reaction to it. He said, you know, don't think these tears are coming from a place of weak mindset. He said, I will run you over.
I will run you over.
So, I mean,
you nervous, Nick?
No, I'm good.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm still 260.
Five fingers.
I'm all right.
Well, what the five fingers say to the face? Run me over.
Let's run through some camp concerns for some of the NFC contenders. Nico, what is your biggest concern about the Bucs?
Offensive line. Yeah. Just replacing Jensen at center. That's such a vital piece. You think about protection. Your center usually is the one that's getting everyone aligned, getting everybody set up. I know Tom, he really, really doesn't like interior pressure up the middle. So if you lose your guard, you lose your center. They have new pieces at guard. You're going to have a new center. That really, really makes me nervous for the season for him.
Mike Tannenbaum, your biggest concern about the Packers?
The offensive line, whether or not Elgton Jenkins and David Bakhtiari can be healthy, they both are not available right now. And even though they were productive last year, that is a big concern to keep Aaron Rodgers healthy.
Bart Scott, how about the Cowboys? What's your big concern for Dallas?
My big concern is the Philadelphia Eagles. I mean, when you look in within that division, you know, they're coming, they're ascending. And you look at them, they improved, and you look at the Cowboys, they stayed the same or got worse. I'm concerned that Dak Prescott cannot finish. He's a guy that's always going to be the bridesmaid, never the bride.
Ooh, bridesmaid, never the bride. In a division now that the Eagles seem to be pushing them. So let's just talk about Dak a little bit more here. Graz, one specific thing that Dak needs to
do better this season.
Yeah, to Bart's point, finish. In the first quarter of games last year, he was 8th in QBR. 8th in the second quarter. But then in the third quarter, he's 14th. And in the fourth quarter, he's 22nd. He has got to find a way to finish games a little bit. Maybe if they can have more balance, right? Maybe if Zeke Elliott bounces back. But fundamentally, it's on him to find ways to finish games stronger.
Ninko, what about you?
I think he's just got to lead this team. He's got to be the best player on the team. He's got to be the leader performance-wise. He's also got to carry the torch as far as leadership. And really, when you have a quarterback that's of his caliber, he should be top five in the league. He should be one of the best in the league. So he's got to go out there, perform at that level, be the best leader on this team.
Mike T?
He's got to make more plays with his feet. We got two linebackers here. You guys hate when the quarterback can make plays with his feet. How about this for context? Last year, Dak only rushed for a first down 7 times. In his first 4 years, guys, 94 first downs with his feet. Thank you, Hembo. Maybe it's another year off of the injury, but that puts a lot more pressure on a defense when not only can he beat you with his arm, but with his legs.
Bart, just more on what you were talking about when it comes to finish. You're talking about late in games because we saw in the playoffs what happened last year. It was all on Mike McCarthy, but he's got to carry some of that accountability,
too. I mean, listen, Mike, we steal his line all the time. You got to be a force multiplier. And, you know, he needs to do that more now than ever because you look at his right side of his offensive line, right? They're not the same. They're starting over. You look at the fact that he lost Amari Cooper. So now he has to be a force multiplier. He has to be able to try and make other people better. The issue is within the division, the Philadelphia Eagles have gotten better, and especially they've got stronger at a point of weakness that is when you think about Davis and you think about Fletcher Cox in the inside making the Dallas Cowboys one-dimensional. Listen, the goal is always for them to try and win a championship, but he's always fallen short. You look at the great game that he had against Tampa Bay against Tom Brady, fell short. You look at the mistake, you know, to not stop 2 yards earlier so that he can get another playoff. He always falls short, and we can't put him into the upper echelon of quarterbacks until he wins some of these matchups against quarterbacks that we deem franchise quarterbacks and borderline Hall of Famers.
Graz, can we see them, obviously, once the season starts, you know, it's easier to make player moves. You always watch who's going to get cut and whatnot. But that wide receiver room is thin now with injuries and everything else. So, could they be active looking for help there in that position? Or are they kind of, this is their roster, this is who they are?
They'll be active in looking. I mean, the Dallas Cowboys have shown, I think, over the past few years that their player acquisition phase is year-round. So, yeah, they'll monitor to see who's getting cut and who fits. Look, They took a targeted approach in free agency. They liked James Washington for a specific reason in terms of how he fit their offense. Unfortunately, he's injured, so they may look for somebody like that. I don't know that you're going to see them make a big splash signing, but I do think they'll monitor that market for sure.
Mike, I know you've been talking about Odell with this, you know, to bring him in, and but what other options could they possibly have? Yes.
It's really going to be from within, and maybe it's Tony Pollard in the slot with Zeke Elliott. The reason I like Odell Beckham isn't for today or for tomorrow, but when you're building a team and you're trying to compete with Philadelphia, as Bart mentioned, how do you get better in season? Sign Odell now, bring him in, take the rehab over him, supervise it, let him learn your offense. So maybe he's ready on November 1st instead of November 15th. One or two games may be the difference between them or Philadelphia winning the division. And that's why when a player's hurt like this, it's actually an opportunity. And when he was healthy, guys, including Aaron Donald, he was the best football player on the field in the Super Bowl. I think he has something left, assuming he could come through this injury okay.
Can he stay healthy? Would you consider maybe Denzel Mims, a very small move that you can probably get him for a 7th-round draft pick?
Bart's already making trades as well. Yeah. These two guys next to each other, forget it, they're dangerous, treating everybody around. But you talk about additions. How about an addition in Baltimore? An addition of a player who's already on the roster, Lamar getting some much-needed help on that offense. Does that make the Ravens sneaky Super Bowl contenders? We'll discuss as Get Up continues.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code PARLAY and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code PARLAY. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Welcome back to Get Up. We have breaking news. Serena Williams announcing on Instagram this morning that she will soon retire from tennis. Williams, who won her first match in over a year yesterday, revealed her plans this morning on her social media accounts and linking to an article she wrote in September's edition of Vogue magazine. Here's what Serena wrote on Instagram. Vogue September issue cover. There comes a time in life when we have to decide to move in a different direction. That time is always hard when you love something so much. My goodness, do I enjoy tennis. But now the countdown has begun. I have to focus on being a mom, my spiritual goals, and finally discovering a different but just exciting Serena. I'm going to relish these next few weeks. The U.S. Open begins at the end of the month. We are joined right now by ESPN tennis analyst and, of course, the tennis great herself, Pam Shriver, on the phone. Pam, thanks so much for the last minute for joining us here. And just to get your reaction to this news, is there surprise at all?
Not really a surprise. I feel like the year off between Wimbledon 2021, when she injured her hamstring, the loss to Harmony Tan a little over a month ago. And I feel like it was a very conscious decision to make this push towards the U.S. Open. I think in the year off, she realized she wasn't in it long term. But I think for her, the decision to end her career at the place, it overwhelmingly looks like it's the U.S. Open from everything she said. And that's where she won her first of 23 majors in 1999. So I think it is coming full circle. And a lot of times, athletes like to have that feeling of coming full circle and coming out on their own terms.
It's amazing, as we're showing there on the screen, her 23 majors, just one shy of the record. Can you just talk about her impact on the sport, just in general?
Well, she has impacted tennis on the court, off the court. She's taken tennis off the sports pages into pop culture. She bridges, really people of all generations and a diversity of backgrounds. She's become a great spokesperson, a philanthropist. She's matured before our eyes. Sure, she's had moments at the U.S. Open that have been difficult for her and for us to watch. But in the end, she's going to go down as one of the great athletes, not just in tennis, but in sports history. When you think about her longevity, winning majors as a teenager in the 90s and still competing in 2022, and her record in the Olympics in major doubles finals with Venus 14-0, I could go on and on at the impact she's had.
Yeah, Serena Williams, one of the most iconic athletes in this generation, announcing that in the coming weeks she will be retiring. Pam Shriver, thank you so much for giving us a few moments here of perspective.
Thank you.
Call the non-believers.
How did that
call the non-believers?
I can't wait till the day I make it. I can't wait.
We're a good football team. They can't stop a nosebleed.
Congratulations. See you at Pittsburgh.
Can't wait.
That's my guy. The words that made him famous.
Or infamous.
Can't wait.
Or infamous, Nico.
You got to say it with your chest, too, right? Can you give me one? Give me one. You haven't said it on the show in a while.
I can't, man. Nico's there, man. He's my buddy now. he got the last laugh. So he got Super Bowl rings. But, no, I don't want to bring it.
All right.
Take the scab, Alan.
Fair enough. But I figured while he was here, why not live? Anyways, all right. Let's look forward instead of back. What is it that you can't wait to see this NFL
season? I can't wait for the clash of the Titans. I mean, you talk about the hottest division in all of football, the AFC West.
You talking about can Patrick Mahomes, you know, lead his team back to prominence? You got Russ trying to cook within there. Oh, it's going to be a real show, man. I'm excited to see it.
Can't wait. Me.
Keep going.
Oh, yeah. Oh, okay. Oh, yeah.
Well, that's all you can't wait for.
I'm saying you've been teeing me up, throwing me alley hoops all the time.
This is all you, baby. This is your segment.
You're going to tell me it's ISO. Okay, well, I'll tell you what. I want to see if Tom Brady can also ride off into the sunset. We know he came back, you know, but eventually he has to go back to that child kid pickup line at his kid's school. But let's see if he can ride off into the sunset. Let's see if he can have that storybook ending like Jerome Bennett's had when he, you know, ride off and win a championship. I'm excited to see if he can do it, man. I'm keeping my eye on that. I can't wait for that one. But then finally,
what else
finally,
you got for me?
Finally, listen, I can't wait. We've talked about this. I can't wait to see if at the end of this season, look at me, get a tight shot. I cannot wait to see if Tyreek Hill believes that Tua has prettier balls than Patrick Mahomes. I tell you what, how he can think that Tua is in the same breath as Patrick Mahomes is absurd. You know, let's see what happens when the competition is real. Let's see if Tua is the goods, because you talk about a team that's given, you know, a player everything that he desires, everything that he needs. Tyreek was one of those weapons. Let's see if Miami can be taken seriously and that they are a true contender to be a playoff winner and potentially a Super Bowl representative.
I wish everybody could see the look on Graz and Nico's face when Bart just quoted Tyreek Hill there. Yeah, that's what it looked like.
It's okay, Nick. He's like, right, meanwhile, the words of Bart Scott does not represent this program in Nikovic.
There was some sneaky big news yesterday with Bart's Ravens. Running back J.K. Dobbins returned to practice for the first time since tearing his ACL during last year's preseason. He was limited to individual drills and worked on the side during team drills. So Dobbins averaged 6 yards per rush in 2020, which led all running backs. That season, he's second highest mark by a rookie running back since the merger. Yesterday, our Ryan Clark said the Ravens, Bart, are sneaky Super Bowl contenders. Listen.
They're getting so much hate. It's like people are forgetting they were the most injured team in football last year. And at Lamar Jackson's injury, he had them leading the AFC North. I expect him to come back and play extremely well. You get your running back, and we know how great a coach John Harbaugh is. Lamar Jackson is solely focused on winning, which is obvious because he's not focused on his contract. And I believe having a guy like that who purely wants to prove that he can win in this league with his style of play, with his level of play, is going to be huge for this team offensively.
Bart, I feel like this is a setup. It's like asking Ninko if he thinks the Patriots can win a Super Bowl. Do you agree with Ryan Clark here?
No, absolutely. When you talk about a team that was in contention with all the injuries that they had to get Ronnie Staley back, listen, the Ravens are deciding to say double down on what we did Lamar Jackson's MVP year. They went out and they secured tight ends, and they made sure that they can beef up that offensive line. You know, you talk about, the return of some injuries on the offensive line as well. You talk about Lamar Jackson focused on trying to win and win ugly, right? But you talk about what they did on the defensive side of the ball. Like, I think they're going to have one of the best secondaries in all of football, going to get Marcus Williams, you know, drafting Hamilton, and beefing up that defensive line as well. Listen, this is a team that you can never overlook because they win ugly, and you look up at the end of the season, and they're right there in contention. They're going to be a team that nobody wants to play because of that running game. It's something that you don't see on a weekly basis.
The running game, yes. Rashad Bateman as well, a name to watch with this team. But Graz, it's all about Lamar Jackson. Mm-hmm. And the story with him is whether or not he will be signed before the season starts. What are you hearing about this? Is there anything new?
No, I mean, there have been conversations. I think we're at a point where Lamar knows what he wants, and if the Ravens, you know, get there, then great. And it doesn't necessarily mean an amount of money. It could have something to do with the way the contract is structured, how the guarantees pay out in the first year, second year, third year, etc. So those are the kinds of things that they're working through. At this point, no deal, but it could happen at any time. Wouldn't be a surprise to anybody, I don't think, if it happened before the season started. But if it doesn't, to RC's point, Lamar Jackson's going to play. Like, I mean, he wants to win the Super Bowl. And getting franchised once or twice as a quarterback is not the end of the world, especially financially. Just ask Kirk Cousins, Dak Prescott, guys who've gone that route.
Ninko, we've talked about Tiger Bomb and everything else when it comes to injuries and playing through injuries. But this is a different situation. We're talking about potentially near a quarter of a billion dollar kind of contract.
Yeah.
If you're him or if you're in his circle.
I'd be shaking to go sign a contract right now. It'd be 200 plus million. So, but again, I think that.
But should he play?
I think it's up to him. It's up to him. Like, nobody else can influence his decision except for himself. So looks at himself in the mirror, says, you know what? I'm going to go out, and I'm going to go play football. And I'm going to do it just like I've been doing it in the past. I'm going to ball out. I'm going to stay healthy, and I'm going to get a big contract. So if he can do that, if they can stay healthy as a team, if they can keep the running back room healthy, the defense can stay healthy. Last year, they lost their corner. They lost their whole running back yep. room. So if they can stay healthy, they're going to be a better football team this year. If they can stay, if he can stay healthy, because since 2018, Lamar has been the most hit offensive player in the league. He's been hit 821 times. Thanks, Hembo. So that is a lot. So if they can keep him a little bit upright as far as giving the ball to running backs, let everyone else do their part, keep doing the RPOs and all that stuff where it keeps the defense on their heels, they're going to be a good football team. And if he can stay healthy and plays the whole season out and has another MVP year, he's going to be the highest paid quarterback in the NFL.
Even if he gets hurt, he's not going to get hurt any worse than Dak Prescott did the year he was franchised.
Exactly.
And he's still got his monster contract the following offseason.
He's playing a game that they've seen in Baltimore before. You know, remember Joe Flacco?
Yes.
He decided to bet on himself. He won a Super Bowl. And if Lamar Jackson wins a Super Bowl, he'll be a Super Bowl winner. He'll be MVP. Within a five-year span, he'll have the same, you know, resume that Patrick Mahomes has. And we're talking about instead of being between 40 to 45 million, we're talking about he can make the argument that he should be the highest paid quarterback in the league. And yes, that's over $51 million a year. So that's the beauty about being your own representation. You don't have to have the poison words from your agent who's hoping that he can get the 3%. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So you can just worry about yourself and say, do what you want to do, not be influenced.
Still 1.5
I'd say 1.5 I ain't getting 3%.
1.5 of that's still pretty good.
These quarterback deals.
Better yourself, it could pay off big. Coming up, Bart Scott says one of these quarterbacks could be leading his team to the Super Bowl this season. Find out which one next.
Pretty balls.
Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Back to Get Up. Breaking news, Serena Williams announcing on Instagram this morning that she is, quote, evolving away from tennis. Serena's won her first match in over a year yesterday. She revealed her plans this morning on her social media accounts and linked an article she wrote in September's edition of Vogue magazine. So here's what Serena wrote on Instagram. Quote, Vogue September issue cover. There comes a time in life when we have to decide to move in a different direction. That time is always hard when you love something so much. My goodness, do I enjoy tennis. But now the countdown has begun. I have to focus on being a mom, my spiritual goals, and finally discovering a different but just exciting Serena. I'm going to relish these next few weeks. U.S. Open begins at the end of the month. All right, here with Bart Scott, and we've got a fundamentalist, Bart Scott, for you. Top five comeback player of the year candidates. Take it away.
Oh, absolutely. I tell you, I'm going to start with number five. My number five on the list is Christian McCaffrey. Christian McCaffrey, when healthy, is one of the best offensive weapons in the league. Electrifying, the ability to run in between the tackles, have the speed to get around and circle the defense, but also his ability to catch the football. He had the big deal. He hasn't lived up and measured up because of his health.
You think about, you know, whoever's going to be successful behind center, whether it's Baker Mayfield or Sam Darnold's going to rest on the shoulders and legs of Christian McCaffrey. He's my number five.
Number four,
Tre'Davious White. How soon we forget that the Buffalo Bills were fighting left-handed in the postseason. Tre'Davious White is one of the most lockdown corners, best lockdown corners in the game. He has the ability to travel with the defense, and he takes, you know, already having two of the best safeties in the game. And now you put him on the outside, you can really make an offense one-dimensional. Tre'Davious White is my number four. Number three, J.K. Dobbins. Everybody knows that he was ready for a breakout season. You talk about with him and Lamar Jackson. I think they will, you know, pass the Philadelphia Eagles as the number one rushing attack in all of football. His ability in that, you know, RPO zone type of scheme he's built for. Lamar Jackson also holds the backside linebacker and the backside defensive end from being able to flatten out. J.K. Dobbins is going to have a comeback season, and he is going to be maybe one of the guys in top five rushing in all of football. Oh, man. Y'all must have forgot to quote the great Roy Jones. Michael Thomas, he was the baddest man in the planet. Now, he's been gone for 2 years, but now he's finally seemingly like he's gotten healthy. You know, people talk about, well, his quarterback Jameis Winston is there. Maybe he's not a great quarterback. Well, just ask Mike Evans, who's went to a Pro Bowl after Pro Bowl because Jameis Winston found him. He's the perfect target that Jameis Winston loves. Huge catch radius. He can catch balls that may not be accurate. He's a deep threat, but he's a tremendous, you know, basketball player playing football. And finally, number one, the aforementioned Jameis Winston. Listen, environment matters, and everybody wants to hate on Jameis Winston, what he was and what he isn't, and I know we laugh at him because he's a little quirky, hungry for wins, sucking his fingers and doing all that stuff, but when you look at what he was able to do in that environment, learning behind Drew Brees how to take care of the football, not no risky, no bisky, making sure that he understands that he holds the team fate in his hands every time he touches the football, if he's able to take care of the football a little better, you talk about the weapons that he has, not only is Jameis Winston maybe potentially the comeback player of the year, maybe he may be hosting a Lombardi Trophy. And I said it. Don't add it.
Very interesting that you would have two Saints players as number two and number one, because with that in mind, the Saints finished 9-8 last season but missed the playoffs for the first time since 2016. Caesars Sportsbook currently has them with the 18th shortest odds to win it all this season. So Bart Scott believing in the Saints. What about everybody else here? Do we agree with Bart about the Saints as a contender? Mike T, I believe yesterday that was a team you brought up as a sleeper.
Absolutely. Jameis Winston played really good football last year before he got hurt. Bart already mentioned Michael Thomas is healthy, which I believe he will be, with Chris Olave and Alvin Kamara. That is a really good group of skill players. And defensively, Dennis Allen's done a really good job there for a long time. And for whatever reason, they match up exceptionally well against Tampa Bay. Mm-hmm. So when you talk about a path, how do you win your division? I think it's really there for New Orleans. Now, the big X factor is, you know, Sean Payton's not the head coach for the first time in forever. And obviously that could be a meaningful impact. But beyond that, on paper, I think this team has a chance to really sneak up on a number of teams.
Yeah, Nico, that's what you brought up in our pre-show meeting was about Sean Payton. How big of an impact is that going to have on this team?
I think it's obviously on the quarterback position and offensive mindset. Sean Payton is one of the most brilliant head coaches to ever do it offensively. So losing that is definitely going to hurt you. So I think that they definitely have the talent. They definitely have the pieces defensively. Just ask Tom Brady about that. He's been getting licked by them for a while. So I really think that if they can come together and Dennis Allen can get this team to buy in, that they can make a run at it.
When you look at what they've done in the offseason, adding the Honey Badger, you bring more leadership to a team that already had tremendous leadership. And, you know, Jameis Winston, no matter what you may believe about him, he's a leader, and this team rallies around him, and it allows Taysom Hill to be in that unique role where he can be a splash player to make splash plays and put you in positions where you don't know what they're going to do with them. And that defense has always been legit. And the same questions that we have about, you know, the Saints, we don't bring them up when you talk about Tampa Bay. They're without Bruce Arians as well. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you talk about they still have a staff that have been there. So it's still the continuity. Now I understand that these guys have been there and they, you know, already ran the ship. You know, Dennis Allen has been a head coach or filled in that role like, you know, Rex used to do at times with some of his, you know, assistants that were going to be future head coaches.
Yeah, and continuity was a big part of the plan after Payton left, right? I mean, they promoted from within, you know, to fill coordinator jobs and other jobs. And even Jameis Winston has been there a couple of years now. But they did pursue Deshaun Watson and did not get him. But once that was done, they went right back to Jameis Winston, who knows what they expect of him, knows the culture there, knows, yeah, you know, so continuity is a big, they believe they're good enough to contend for a championship even without Sean Payton, and the moves that they made after he left speak to that.
A little bit of concern with Winston yesterday, rolled his ankle, but you know, sounds all
like
was okay.
Early returns on that sound like it's going to be all right.
Yeah, they're which is of course concerned. A big exhale after a guy coming off of the injury he had last year, where he out for a good start and then missed the rest of the season. All right, First Take is coming up next, and we have Kevin Durant's ultimatum. It gets a very public response from the owner of the team. What should the Nets do now? It's First Take, the top of the hour.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you're here in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Tomorrow night, we'll have the 26th annual MLS All-Star Game from St. Paul, Minnesota. For the second year, the top players in MLS take on the top players in Liga MX. Our coverage begins at 8:30 Eastern on ESPN and the app. Back to our breaking news. Serena Williams announcing on Instagram this morning that she is, quote, evolving away from tennis. Williams, who won her first match in over a year yesterday, revealed her plans this morning on her social media accounts and linking to an article she wrote in September's edition of Vogue magazine. Here's what Serena wrote on Instagram. Quote, Vogue September issue cover. There comes a time in life where we have to decide to move in a different direction. That time's always hard when you love something so much. My goodness, do I enjoy tennis. But now the countdown has begun. I have to focus on being a mom, my spiritual goals, and finally discovering a different but just exciting Serena. I'm going to relish these next few weeks. The U.S. Open begins at the end of the month. Bart and Monica here with us, just reacting to this as it was happening during the show. Monica, I mean, we talk about her as not just a tennis icon. She's a sports icon. She's Absolutely. A cultural icon. Just your thoughts on her career, her impact, and the fact that soon she will no longer be playing tennis.
I'm really happy for her. I think, and you know, my very much smaller career, I can remember when I finished playing college ball, like that's such a transition. And so I think for her to be able to find such promise and enthusiasm in the next chapter of her life, she relishes being a mom and the things she talked about in the post, I'm happy for her. Because quite honestly, this last couple of runs for her, you feel like was the weight of tying the total Grand Slam title record on her back. Like you saw some things that seemed to be a little bit out of character, and obviously there have been injuries. And so I'm happy that she seems to be able to find a place of peace and is excited about what comes ahead. I mean, her legacy, bar none, like it's cemented.
Right. Yes, one of the great athletes of this generation.
Well, it puts me in a place of gratitude. I mean, just so great and so honored that, you know, we were able to witness this during my lifetime. You know, her and Serena, I mean, Serena and Venus really inspiring little black girls around the world that they can achieve the impossible. You know, having little black girls embrace their hair, their culture, their ethnicity. Mm-hmm. You know, it's so much more impact than just what she did on the tennis court, fighting for equal rights, you know, for equal pay for the Women's Tennis League. You know, all the things that she's accomplished. I think her cultural impact, to me, she's just as impactful to us as a community and to the sport of tennis as Tiger Woods to golf.
Oh, and right? I and love look, this
and,
picture.
And you talk about embracing fashion. She's done it. She did it with grace, you know, with fire. And, you know, it'll never be another, right? And her and Venus really, really cemented their legacy and really changed the sport of tennis.
How great is that cover, by the way?
The cover's incredible. Cover. Love Olympia in the background. But the point you make about her being an icon is so true. First of all, you got to be an icon to land in a Beyonce video. Step one. Yeah. But two, I can remember so many conversations that were propelled just by Venus being Venus. In particular, the black catsuit, right? Yeah. And we began to have this conversation about objectifying women's bodies and the power of an athlete. And I know personally for me, and I can remember my best friend who's built similar to Serena in terms of muscles, like, being able to understand that there's so much power and grace and it can coexist. And the example that her father set in terms of being a girl dad before it was even popular, right? So there's so much to love in Serena's story.
It started off with the Bees. Yep. It started a conversation. Yep. And that's what they did. They helped us change the culture. Mm-hmm. And I think society is better for it as well. Yep. And the sport of tennis definitely is.
Yeah, I mean, from the sports angle, one major away, right? One major away from tying the record.
She,
I know,
okay.
It doesn't
major.
Matter, right? It doesn't,
it doesn't
because
matter.
You celebrate this.
She's got
this
a building at Nike.
What a hot ticket the U.S. Open is going to be at the end of this month. Just to have her there and just to see her and to celebrate that career. There's no question about that because this is, like I said, one of the great athletes and great icons of this generation. This has been a lot of fun hosting this.
Good job, Mark.
First Take is next. More on Serena Williams.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.